The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Yesterday at 2 p.m, the hopes and dreams of thousands of Leaving Cert students were either realised or, in some cases, shattered with the release of the Round 1 CAO offers. We'll be joined in a minute by Guidance Counsellor Brian Mooney to answer all of your CAO-related questions. But first, we're joined by two Leaving Cert students who got very good news yesterday, that being Alex Rowley and Danielle McFadden. And I had the very stressful opportunity of talking to them when the results had just come in, and thankfully they got what they were hoping for, and they now know whether or not that has translated into the course they wanted. Danielle, let me start with you. Can you tell us how many points in total you got?
I got 613 points.
Mother of divine, that's a lot of points. And the course that you needed last year, how many points did it require?
It was 589 points last year.
Well, given that we had heard so much about the inflation in grades, you can't have been certain that 613 would get you in with the risk that it might have gone up, or were you?
I was quite nervous about it as well, because there was only, I think there's only 12 places for Irish students in it as well. So I was kind of just nervous to see if I would be in the 12.
And what has the result been?
So I got into my first choice. So I was absolutely delighted. So I'm going to the Royal College of Surgeons.
Oh, brilliant. Congratulations. So what are you studying in the RCSI?
Physiotherapy.
And is that 3 year or 4 year?
That's 4 years.
Will you have any of the challenges of finding accommodation, or are you one of the lucky ones who will get to live at home while you go to college?
Probably, unfortunately for my parents, I'm still going to be here for the next 4 years. I can just commute in and out because I'm just on the outskirts of the city.
And with only 12 places available for Irish students in the course, was there much in the way of an increase for the points amount, or do you not know yet?
I wasn't too sure, honestly, with them. I didn't know what kind of students would be applying for it, if they would have all got 65, things like that. It was all up in the air.
Well, I'm delighted that the end result is good, Danielle, and I hope you have a great career as a physiotherapist, if that is the route that you choose to go. We're also joined by Alex Rowley, who we talked to when he got his point. Same question to you, Alex. What was the total number that you got?
So I got 454. It's not as impressive as Danielle, but I was quite happy.
Well, there was a Fangio, the motor racer, was once asked about what to find the best way to drive. And he said, you're trying to win the race at the slowest possible pace.
That's it.
You only need enough to get what you need. So 454 is what you got. What was the course?
Journalism in DCU.
And how many points did you need?
So last year we needed 452. So I either got in by the skin of my teeth or they've come down. I won't know yet, probably until all the rounds have completed.
So when you got the 454, given all the coverage about grade inflation and courses, you must have been worried that it mightn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, over the last few months, every time I've been on the show, and I've always said to either yourself or Pat, I was like, I probably won't get my first choice. I didn't think I did enough work and everything. And then last week, there was a bit of hope there when I got the results. And I was genuinely shocked yesterday when I got the first choice, and I was over the moon. I actually couldn't believe it. So it was genuinely unexpected.
How did they tell you?
So I got an email. So the results were supposed to come out at 2 o'clock, and I actually got an email yesterday at about 1:20, and there was two separate emails, one for my level 6 and 7 offer and one for my level 8 offer. And the level 8 offer said DC132, which was my course code for journalism.
And there's no congratulations, we wish to inform you, hooray stuff.
It's fairly formal. Yeah, it just kind of says, you know, you've been offered a place in such and such. So I think, you know, Griffith College was on my level 6 and 7. So they sent me a congratulations to get their course. And I'm sure DCU would probably send similar. But no, the CAO were fairly regimental with it.
At 3 or 4 years?
It's 3 years, actually. So it's a level 8 degree, but it is 3 years, which is so by the time I'm 21, I'll be finishing up.
And the same question that I was asking Danielle, will you be in a situation where you're desperately hunting for digs or for somewhere to live, or will you be able to do the commute from home?
No, thankfully not. I live in Wicklow, so it's not too far, but it's far enough, you know, it's about an hour to come into here, for instance. So it is far, but at the same time, I just thought I'm not going to stress myself out looking for accommodation. I'm in a fortunate situation where I've got my full license, I can drive in, and I'm earning a living to be able to keep my car running. So at least I can do that.
And the DCU journalism course, do you now have to make a series of choices about what different modules you take, or is it, that's it, journalism, you do the whole thing?
So I think in year two, there are journalism, or there are certain modules that you will choose. I don't really know what ones I'll choose at the moment, but I know that there is intro working work placement towards the end of it as well that you can choose to do as well. So
are you looking forward to it?
Absolutely. I can't wait.
Yeah. And the exposure to News Talk over the period of your appearance on the show and all that, that hasn't put you off the notion of it as
no,
a career?
No, not at all. In fact, it kind of made me more hungry for radio every time I was on.
Good answer. If you don't go with journalism, go with something in diplomacy. Alex Riley, congratulations. That is Alex, who is soon to be, 3 years from now, a journalist, and hope, like Danielle, in the career in physiotherapy. If that is where you end up working, Alex, I hope it works out very well.
Thanks
for you. Brian Mooney is with us. He's guidance counsellor and Irish Times education columnist. Brian, are Alex and Danielle unusual in that they've managed to get what they want? Will there be a lot of disappointed people?
No, well, actually, you know, the actual success rate is as good as any year. And, you know, lots of students have got their top choice. And, you know, when you look at the percentage of those who got one of the top three, you're way over 80%. So it's quite successful. Obviously, there have been some point changes. I noticed when I was reviewing it yesterday, remember last week we spoke about the fact that the Leaving Cert grades had been brought up to match last year. And we talked about the fact that many of those additional points were at the lower end rather than the higher end. I noticed yesterday in my analysis that effectively you had courses in the 300 to 400, which went up substantially, whereas the courses at the very top went up very marginally, if at all. And that's probably reflective of that pattern of, you know, where you put the extra points, you probably got additional points requirements, and where you didn't put the extra points, the course points requirements stayed pretty consistent.
A lot of questions coming in about what people should do in terms of accepting or deferring or taking different offers. One saying, my daughter has been offered a course at TUD. She has DARE eligibility. She won't take this course, but she wants to keep that eligibility for next year. Is it okay just to not accept the course? She doesn't want to defer it. Before you answer that, Brian, what's DARE eligibility?
DARE is the disability. In other words, you've got a special consideration based on the fact that you have a designated disability, and you can retain that disability for a further year after you receive it. So that disability, she doesn't have to provide, you know, all the additional paperwork. She doesn't have to go through the whole process again. She can retain that for if she wishes to apply to the CO next year. So she can do that, yes.
Another one asking, and I suspect this will be a common question. My son missed his first choice by 15 points. Should he accept his second or wait for the next round?
Completely dependent on the second choice. Many students who receive an offer of a course that they weren't expecting, a second or lower choice, you know, have to ask themselves the question, am I going to consistently go to my lecturers? Is this something, once I read the details, go on the Qualifax website or the college's own website, look at what's taught in first, second and third year, you know, really ask yourself, is this a course for me? Because if you start into it and then drop out, it could be very, very expensive. But apart from losing the €3,000 fee that you pay as your registration charge, the HEA fund each one of us for a set number of, you know, courses. So you'll get a level 8 funding. But if you use up 1 year of your level 8 in something else and then drop out, the HEA don't fund that the following year if you come back to something else. So rather than €3,000, you could be paying €10,000 or €12,000. So it's important, if you don't know about the course, really research it. You have until next Wednesday to make that decision. And if you do accept it, you are still eligible for the higher course if it becomes available in later rounds. But as I said, don't just accept something for the sake of taking something, because you will not sustain 3 or 4 years if you aren't really going to enjoy the course.
So does that mean then that if he does accept the second choice in this instance and the points for the first choice drop in the subsequent rounds, he can reverse that decision?
You will receive that offer if the points do come down in any of the subsequent rounds, right up to the middle of October sometimes. You know, you will get that offer, and there will be no costs in terms of the internal college costs. Obviously, if you were in accommodation and you paid a landlord or, you know, a deposit or something, you might lose some money there. But if you get an offer at any stage, you can transfer immediately or decide to stay where you are.
Another text saying, my daughter missed out on her top choices. Would Brian suggest resitting the Leaving Cert or trying a longer or different way in? Is there a different way? She really wants to be an occupational therapist. This is something you've spoken about it at great length on this program before, Brian, how you can get around, well, not get around, but how you can use additional courses to get back to where you want it to be.
For, in terms of occupational therapy, I would suggest that because the points for them are absolutely sky high, I might look at possibly doing occupational therapy through one of the European universities. You could look at doing a further education course. But again, the links into occupational therapy from further education may not be, you know, that great. So I would research it. I would look and see where my options are. Repeating the Leaving Cert, the numbers doing that, Anton, are down from maybe 6,000, you know, going back, say, 10 years ago to several hundred now. You know, it's really not an option that a lot of students are taking. I would look for alternative options outside it. There are people who look to do a postgraduate course in occupational therapy. If they actually do any other undergraduate degree, there are a small number of opportunities, I think, in UL, where you can actually do that over 2 years if you already have a degree in something else. But again, that'll be a very competitive process.
And why have the numbers resitting dropped off so precipitously?
Probably because of the medicine thing. In the past, people used to repeat the Leaving Cert to get those extra points for medicine. And most of the people who got the medicine were people who are actually doing the Leaving Cert for the second time. When they brought in the HPAT and you have a points reduction for medicine in the HPAT, in other words, over 550, you only get one in 5 points. So if you got 600, you actually get 560 on your medical application plus your HPAT score. And once that happened, the numbers repeating the Leaving Cert dropped hugely. And they've been, because of the further education system, Anton, because people can get reserved places in courses through doing a one-year PLC in pre-science, pre-law, pre-business, pre-arts, people are now doing a PLC rather than going back and repeating the Leaving Cert.
Interesting you mentioned the HPAT text saying, the grade inflation is utterly mad. My daughter got 625 in 2021, was a very good student, sat all papers getting H1. She combined with the HPAT has 734 points. She wanted Galway, which is 736. Any chance she could redo the HPAT again?
You can redo the HPAT at any stage. In fact, you have to redo the HPAT because the HPAT only lasts for the 1 year. So effectively, what she can do now is redo the HPAT next year. But there is a possibility that the points can come down in round two, and she's only 2 points short there for Galway. So she could possibly get an offer. There's no guarantee, but it might happen.
Well, while you're looking at the possible numbers drop, there's a text from somebody who wants to end up in college with Alex saying, what are the chances of the points dropping on a DCU arts course? We are 11 short.
That's, you know, again, one of the things that I'm watching out, and I write about this in the Times this morning, is that in the last 2 years, we've had a huge increase in application numbers from students in continental Europe. Because of the fact of Brexit, the cost for them has gone astronomical. They're now international students. And those numbers have gone up from, say, under 2,000 to over 6,000. But because our Leaving Cert results were so late and because the CO offers consequentially are so late, many of those students who will have got offers if, in fact, they had an application in may have sorted themselves out somewhere else. We may also, as you talked about there in terms of accommodation, have people who get offers and just physically can't get accommodation or don't have the price of accommodation given the price it's gone to. And because of those factors, you may actually find a higher number of students not taking up a place or a higher number of applicants not taking up a place. And if that were to happen, obviously those places would be re-offered out in round two and subsequent rounds. So let's see what happens when round two offers come out on the 19th of September, which is when they will be offering. Obviously, the students who got offers yesterday have until next Wednesday to accept that offer. If they don't accept it by Wednesday, the offer lapses.
When you look at effects like that, the Brexit and the movement of students across Europe, and you look at the effect of the calculated grades and COVID, is this the most unpredictable CAO round offer year that you've seen?
Well, it is in one sense, in the sense that obviously, you know, by creating a result pattern that was identical to last year, what they were trying to do was to create a similar set of points. But obviously, if you get a surge in applications for particular courses, as we saw in some disciplines, or a drop, for instance, nursing, probably because of people looking at the experience nurses were having during COVID, the points for nurses have dropped yesterday because the application numbers are down. So, you know, we've had quite a strong movement in some professions, and in others, you know, it has stayed pretty consistent. But, you know, looking at it overall, Anton, you know, the points were relatively consistent yesterday.
Brian, thank you very much. That is Brian Mooney, who is Guidance Counsellor and Irish Times Education Columnist. And a big thank you as well to Danielle McFadden, future physiotherapist, and Alex Rowley, future journalist.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.